The first week of the semester coming to a close on campus at Monmouth University with University President Patrick Leahy. This is faculty member Matt Harmon. We talk about week number one. We remember 9/11 and preview today's fall convocation. This is episode 17 of our Monmouth Weekly program. Thanks as always for joining us. The first week of the fall semester is up and going at Monmouth University. Some classes in person, some remote, and some a variety of ways in the hybrid direction. I'm faculty member Matt Harmon. This is Monmouth Weekly, episode number 17, and good to be back with you as we turn the calendar into September. I say a very good morning on a solemn morning, certainly across the country, based on the date, September 11th, go back to 2001. We'll spend some time talking about that, just how the first week has been going, and get into a little bit of the message of fall convocation, which takes place later on today as well. A good morning, however, to University President Patrick Leahy. It's been a couple of weeks since you and I have chatted. How was, first and foremost, how are things at home? I know you've got the four kids and in kind of a variety of directions in terms of who's taking what and who's where, and probably, thinking of Monmouth having all these different ways that classes are being offered, you're probably seeing the full spectrum within your own house as well.
We are. Good morning, Matt. Nice to be with you. Our house and the four kids and their educational pursuits this fall mimic exactly what we're trying to do here at Monmouth, and that is to provide as much flexibility, as you mentioned, as possible. We have in the house here a couple of our kids going remote, a couple of our kids, one of our kids back in school, one of our kids taking a break this fall. So I think my micro community of the Leahy family mimics the broader Monmouth University community as we begin the fall semester.
You know, you and I have had some fun kind of talking during the course of the summer months for sure. And I always kind of, I would say, how was Labor Day weekend, the end to the summer? But I actually feel like your kids in a lot of ways have been cheated just a little bit because they have not had the traditional Jersey Shore summer where it's a lot. There's a lot more happening than probably you guys saw during the course of the last few months.
Yeah, unfortunately, I don't think we got the full Jersey Shore experience this year. I think we have a sense for how great it can be, but because of the different state guidelines that restricted activity, we didn't get the full experience, but it doesn't in any way make us any less enthusiastic to be here. It just makes us think that this really is a great place to live, and we hope we'll be here for a while.
I hope I would echo that as well. You're just getting yourself settled in. There's no reason to go anywhere.
just one year now, right?
You think of it, and as we record here this morning, we're actually kind of right in the middle of what would have been 19 years ago, one of the craziest days in our country's history, on September 11th, 2001, and again, where you and I are recording right now on mid to late morning. This is when everything was happening. I mean, I can remember vividly being at home and actually getting ready to go to Monmouth to teach a class when I was just an adjunct at that time, and essentially the world kind of stopped. For you, what do you recall about that day, that time? Obviously, you weren't at Monmouth, but not too far removed from your days at Ithaca.
Yeah. Actually, you mentioned that we're right in the midst of those activities 19 years ago. In fact, just outside here on campus, the bells tolled to commemorate the third plane hitting the Pentagon, I think. We are right in the midst of those terrible, tragic events of that morning. Our bells will toll four times this morning to recall the events of that morning. But yeah, as I think back on it, I was living in Ithaca, New York at the time. I remember so vividly, Matt, that I had gotten up early and was at the barber of all places, trying to get my hair cut in before the day's activities. And I'm sitting in the barber chair and they had the TV on. Of course, we saw the events unfold the way everybody else in the world did. I always tell the story that I went home that day and my kids at the time were, my oldest two girls were just 3 and 1. And so we spent the day, I basically took the day off and spent the day watching the events unfold with my wife, Amy, and our two daughters, helping them out. And it was later that night that I put them, rocked them to sleep and then put my youngest daughter at the time down in her crib. And as I always did, I jumped to the floor to wait for a few minutes to make sure that she was asleep. You remember those days as a father.
I sure do.
And it was then, in the quiet of the evening with the lights out and sitting there, lying there next to my infant daughter, that I think the events of the day first really hit me emotionally. And that's when I first cried about the situation. So on days like today, I always remind people that you should hold the people that you love the most in a long, firm embrace and just tell them what they mean to you, because you just never know.
Yeah, I think, again, everybody kind of has their own memories of that day. And as I said, I had always had, and still to this day have, a Tuesday class that I was preparing mm-hmm. for later on in the day. And I can remember dropping off. It's funny, you talk about having two daughters. Your family has grown since that point with two more.
Double, right.
I have three kids, and at that point it was one. I can remember taking my oldest son now, who at the time was not quite three, taking him to preschool for the day, and then coming home and literally walking in to my wife and just watching this unfold on TV. And you were, you were thinking, do you go pick your son up? Do you not go pick him up? Is the city it? It turned out not to be it, because then what happened in Washington, D.C., and then the plane crash in Pennsylvania. So it certainly was a crazy day. And I do have to, I do have to think that on September 11th, one of the things that I think Monmouth has done very well, because essentially on some days you could go out to the Long Branch coastline and, on the right day, you could almost see New York City.
Sure.
Or drove
sure.
a little bit further north, you're certainly going to see it from Sandy Hook or Seabright or one of those places. So the connection was there immediately and right away. And certainly the surrounding Monmouth University community was impacted greatly. But I've always thought that one of the real good things that the school does, as you just referenced, is have those bells go off to mark some, not all, because it just wouldn't probably be feasible, but some of the major events of that day. And I'm so happy that as you have continued that theme and tradition, because I think it's an important one for people to remember just how that day took place.
I'm so, so proud that Monmouth University does that. I saw on Twitter this morning that 3,000 lives or so lost that day, 700 of whom were from New Jersey. So this state bore a disproportionate brunt of the pain that day. So the least Monmouth University can do is remember those events each and every year.
And on a day where, on a Friday, on September 11th here, as I said in our open, it marks the end, or close to the end, by the end of the day today, of the first week of classes being back up and going. Not quite a full week, because the university started on Tuesday after Labor Day, which they always traditionally do. I think just a broad question of saying, how is it going, would at this point be appropriate? And that might not be my best journalistic question, but I think right now that's kind of what people want to know. How are things week number one?
It's the most honest question, so I guess that's good journalism. I would tell you at this point, the way I would characterize it, Matt, is simply so far, so good. We have been moving students back into campus. Again, everything we're doing here over the last 10 days or so to reopen the university is compliant with the letter and the spirit of the New Jersey State guidelines. I want to make sure that you and any of our listeners know that we've been following those guidelines, as you know, very, very carefully to make sure that we are abiding by the not just the letter of them, but the spirit of them. So we've been moving students in since more than a week ago. Right now, we have about half of our residential capacity, which is actually good, Matt, because the state of New Jersey requires us to keep our residence halls at lower capacity than normal. So we have about half of our students back living with us. As you know, we have the majority of our academic coursework online. Something close to 50 to 60% is online. The remainder in person and hybrid. That's a good mix for students. It allows them the options that we talked about earlier, either to take their fall coursework online and stay home or to come back to campus and get more of the full experience, not the full experience, but more of it. And we are as diligent as we can possibly be about the health and safety protocols. And to this point, I feel very positive about how the first 3 or 4 days have gone. We've got tents up all over the campus. And I remarked the other day, Matt, that those tents look so good that I'm not sure those tents aren't here to stay. You know, they provide extra space for our students to congregate. It's mostly there for our residential dining and a little bit of academic work as well. Actually, some classes will be held in outdoor tents, but they're erected in a way that it just adds to the already incredible campus that we have. So in a word or two, so far, so good.
You know, a couple of things to follow up on that. And from a personal perspective, I always say, you know, in our intro and during the course of it, faculty member Matt Harmon, I've been a proud member of the faculty since 1999. And I will say that I have seen three of my four classes so far in person. And I think the students not only are excited to be back, even though it is very different. There's not the interaction. There's not maybe the connection that you would have. But I think for a lot of students, it's nice just to be back in a classroom. Hopefully that continues and it's not just a quick one-off and then they think that it's easier maybe online. But, you know, of the three classes I saw, you talk about the outside space and how things have maybe been either reconfigured or from a faculty perspective, can you be creative? I had my first class Tuesday morning and we met on the steps of the garden, you know, on the side of Great Hall and the Erlanger Gardens. And it was fantastic. The weather was great. We had a nice, you know, conversation to kind of get the class up and going. And I did tell that class specifically, I said, we can do this as long as the weather cooperates and, you know, we can do different things. We can find ways to be creative. And socially distant and keep your mask on. But, you know, especially here in the fall in New Jersey, September, October, and you know, if you get lucky into November, I would say those outside areas would be something that the university can really take advantage of.
I think so. You know, I just have this philosophy, Matt, that education, as complicated as we tend to make it, boils down ultimately to one thing, and that is the engagement between a faculty member and a student or students, as the case may be. And I'm just so grateful to hear you talk about the innovative and unique and maybe unusual ways that our faculty members are trying to connect with our students. And I think some of our faculty members believe, like you evidently do, that, you know what, let's try to do it in person, even if we have some constraints to work with, and other faculty members think the best way for them to connect with their students is to do it in an online, you know, good online virtual environment. I don't really care how you do it as long as that direct engagement happens, because to me, that's when the magic happens in education. So the image of you being out on the steps there next to the Great Hall with some number of students, even in that, you know, constrained environment, is just, I think, a perfect image of what we're trying to deliver for our students here at Monmouth.
Yeah, and clearly the reputation that Monmouth has, and probably one of the reasons that led you to be interested and then ultimately get the job as the university president, was the fact that the small class environment, the one-on-one that so many students get and thrive off of working with faculty. And you do look at the way that the schedule in the fall, at least for right now, has been put together with the classes in person. Again, all of my classes are hybrid, so I'm going to try and mix and match so students don't feel super uncomfortable having to come all the time, but trying to see them at least once a week. For me, at least, that's really important. And I know other faculty members feel the same, and others, as you said, feel like they can still have that one-on-one engagement doing things remotely. But it was actually, in the strangest way, it was interesting because whoever has been running the Instagram and some of the social media, you know, they'll pick up on some of the pictures that people will post and tag Monmouth. To see people taking advantage of the spaces outside has actually been pretty creative and pretty unique. And I do hope it's something that continues. I do ask you this, though. Do you wake up, and I was just watching the news a little bit ago, do you wake up every morning and think, I hope that this is not the day that somehow COVID creeps in to Monmouth, because it is happening everywhere. It's happening in local schools in Monmouth and Ocean County. It's happening on other college campuses across the country. So from just the idea of being in that leadership position, are you keeping your fingers crossed, or are you just hoping upon hope that it doesn't happen at Monmouth?
Well, I don't want to make light of the situation. I don't, if I go to bed thinking that, I don't wake up worrying about it, because I don't actually sleep if I'm dwelling on that, Matt. Obviously you've heard the old adage, hope is not a strategy. So we put a plan in place that we think is going to give us the best possible chance of being successful and containing the number of cases that we might have here on campus in the fall, so that we can keep our operation up and going throughout the entire fall semester. And then once we have that strategy in place and we get well-meaning people committed to that strategy, on top of that, yes, I will hope for the best. But you know, we know we're going to have cases on campus this fall. Even the state of New Jersey knows that college campuses are going to have cases because they've required us to set aside quarantine and isolation space, which we happily did in our residence halls. So that's a recognition that we're going to have cases on campus. The question is, let's make sure that we have really good protocols in place to ensure that when a case does emerge, that it's contained and that it doesn't become more widespread. And we're working really diligently to ensure that that doesn't happen. And, you know, when I do wake up in the morning, the first thing I get is from our head of our crisis management team, you know, anything happened overnight or anything happened in the last 12 hours that I need to be aware of so that we can keep close tabs on it. But we're watching what's happening around the country, and you hear about the cases where institutions have had to adjust and shut down or sort of isolate in place for a 2-week period. And that's troubling. But remember that you hear about those cases, you don't hear about all the other colleges and universities that are up and running and have not yet had to do that. So I think we put the most responsible plan in place that we can, execute it as well as possible, and then lastly, hope for the best.
You know, I want to follow up on one part of that answer, which was extremely thorough and complete. When you say at some point you know that Monmouth will encounter some case of COVID, is that President Leahy talking from just the reality of the situation, or is that President Leahy anticipating a worst case scenario, if that question makes sense?
Yeah, I think more of the former. I mean, I think it's the reality of the situation. I mean, I just don't believe that we can be open all fall and not report any cases. I mean, I think it's dealing with the blatant reality of the situation. One commitment I've made to the campus community is that we will keep a running total of the cases that occur on the campus within the community. We will report those very transparently. We're not required to do so by the state of New Jersey. We elect to do so to try to keep our campus community as informed as possible. Our hope is, as I mentioned, that there'll be a limited enough number of cases that once we identify those individuals, isolate them, do the appropriate contact tracing, notify everybody within that contact trace of the situation, decide who needs to be quarantined, who just needs to be more vigilant. If we stick to those protocols, we think we have a really good chance of containing the cases that we no doubt believe will occur.
I know you are often, your daily, I'll say routine, for lack of a better term, is to be out and about on campus, engaging students, talking to students, seeing people, because that's one of the things that you love most about the job, and you've shared that with me. Has it been challenging to be the president that you essentially want to be, even in this first week, not being able to really have that engagement with the student body and faculty and staff?
Yes, it's taken a lot of the joy out of the job, to be honest, Matt. I live here on campus, and as we've talked about in previous podcasts, you know, I've been walking the campus even during sort of the lockdown. You know, it's my backyard, so I've been walking the campus, you know, April, May, June, July, August, and as I've said before, college campuses were not built to be quiet places. They were, in my opinion, built to be high energy places. And to walk the campus for the last four or five months and to not feel that energy is just saps me of a lot of the enthusiasm for the job. I will tell you, though, that starting with the commencement ceremonies that we had, which had to be, you know, very carefully executed because of the state mandates, that started to restore the energy to the campus. I started seeing for the first time in months in person many of my colleagues, to see our students back on campus and their families and the energy that those events created. And then you follow that quickly with starting to bring students back to campus and starting to see them around, even masked up and not being able to get closer than that, you know, 6 to 8 feet. It still nonetheless starts to restore the energy to this campus, and I may say starts to restore the energy to this president as well.
You know, you mentioned commencement, which brings to mind another word that starts with the letter C, and that is convocation, which take place later on today. I know the date had to be adjusted a little bit because of the weather that we've had in the area the last couple of days. You think convocation from last year, which was your first and now your second here this year, the circumstances are very different. But when you think of the overall message and kind of the direction that you hope the day goes, what is it that you're hoping to accomplish with the ceremony today?
Well, you know, as long as I've been a university president, I felt it was important two times a year, the beginning of the fall semester and then again at the beginning of the spring semester, for me to deliver some hopefully thoughtful, prepared remarks to the campus community. As you know, Matt, I do these very regular open Zoom calls with the entire campus community. It's been one of the actually great silver linings of this, is the ability to use Zoom to connect with, and sometimes seven or close to 800 of my colleagues at one time. So I've been doing that for months now, but even though I've been doing those, I felt like it was important to continue that tradition, to have that fall convocation where I could prepare some remarks, deliver them in a more formal way to the campus community. We'll do that this afternoon. We debated, like we did last year, whether to have it on September 11th or not. You know, should we go about our daily business on this solemn day or not? And I just decided that, you know what, there's no better time to gather the Monmouth University community together than on September 11th. You know, before I provide my business-oriented remarks, I'm going to ask everybody to stop and together as a community, you know, remember September 11th and those who were lost and those that are still dealing with the effects of that horrible day, as well as some other things that we want to remember. So I felt like, you know, moving it to September 11th was quite appropriate. But I get an opportunity to share with the campus community a few important remarks about sort of the last semester and summer, you know, from the spring convocation through to today. I talk a lot about what our plans are for the fall semester specifically, you know, knowing that I'll have spring convocation to update those remarks. And then I take some time toward the end to lift people's imagination beyond just this coming semester to what we might be able to achieve here at Monmouth. And so that's sort of the model I use, you know, a little review of what's happened at the university since the spring convocation, a focus on what we're going to do together in this fall. And then a third part is some thoughts about the future together. And so that's what I will plan for our convocation today at 3:00.
Well, listen, you know that my background in broadcasting and presenting, I've taught public speaking on campus for the better part of almost my entire 20 plus years there, and all the broadcasting work that I do and teach. So I am a believer in preparation and practice. Those are two of the things that I always talk about. And I'm going to put you on the spot here, half put you on the spot, because we did kind of talk about it a little bit. I know that you have a poem that you're going to read at convocation today. Is it something that you'd be willing to share with us here on the podcast, and it can live on?
Of course. May I share it now, Matt?
Yeah, that would be fantastic.
So I mentioned that the way I structure my convocation, and I've been thinking a lot about a poem that really speaks to me. It's from Marge Piercy. She's an American poet, and she wrote a poem called "To Be of Use." And I've actually used this with my senior administrative team over the course of the last few months, and I just felt that now was a good time to share it with the broader university community. And I'd like to just share it with you. It's in four stanzas, so I hope you'll just give me a moment to go through it. And
absolutely,
hopefully you'll see why I think this is as pertinent to us at this university at this time as it is. She says, "The people I love the best jump into work head first without dallying in the shallows and swim off with sure strokes almost out of sight. They seem to become natives of that element, the black sleek heads of seals bouncing like half submerged balls. I love people who harness themselves, an ox to a heavy cart, who pull like water buffalo with massive patience, who strain in the mud and the muck to move things forward, who do what has to be done again and again. I want to be with people who submerge in the task, who go into the fields to harvest and work in a row and pass the bags along, who are not parlor generals and field deserters, but move in a common rhythm when the food must come in or the fire put out. The work of the world is common as mud. Botched, it smears the hands, crumbles to dust. But the thing worth doing well done has a shape that satisfies, clean and evident. Greek amphoras for wine or oil, Hopi vases that held corn, are put in museums, but you know they were made to be used. The pitcher cries for water to carry, and a person for work that is real. So I just can't imagine a poem that is more suitable for the incredibly hard work of this Monmouth University community over the last 6 months, and frankly, as I look ahead to the next 6 months, than Marge Piercy's To Be of Use. I think we all, as individuals, yearn for work in our lives that is real. And I can't imagine more real work than what we're trying to do here at Monmouth University.
I think that's a great way to frame it, with the work ahead. And in a lot of ways, everyone has to be in it together. I think the idea of having convocation and having people come together, to go back to our first topic on 9/11, I think is something that is something to be, it's a way to gather and remember. It's a way to, on convocation, spread the message of the university and, you know, continue to promote the direction that we are headed. So I do thank you for taking that more personal moment of the poem that you're going to read a little later on today and sharing with us here on the podcast. And I think that's a good way for us to wrap up this episode 17. I'm sure that, as I said, you have to prepare and practice. So keep running through those notes for today. And I know our plan moving forward is to continue this, something that we started in March, something that I don't think the idea of it has ever been lost on myself or yourself, to continue to be able to promote Monmouth, to be able to give you a platform to talk a little bit longer. So it'll be something that will continue through the fall and hopefully over the next few months, few years. And I look forward to seeing everything continue under your leadership in the direction that the university is going.
Well, thanks, Matt. I look forward to continuing these broadcasts. It's such a good way to inform the campus community and other interested parties about what's happening at Monmouth. We try to keep them as authentic as possible so that people really know what's going on. I would like to turn the tables on you here in the next session or two, as I've indicated before, and give you a platform to talk a little bit about your experience at Monmouth and from the faculty perspective. So at one of our future ones, I will ask to be the host and you, on the contrary, the guest. So if you're up for that, let's plan that in one of our next episodes.
That sounds fantastic. I think that would be a lot of fun for both of us. And I know we've got, now that we're back up and going in the fall and people are a little bit maybe more connected, we'll have some guests coming back on over the course of the next couple of weeks, and certainly lots more to talk about. I wish you nothing but good luck and success. I'm sure you'll hit it out of the park, as you just did reading the poem today, and all of your remarks at convocation later on this afternoon. Appreciate you obviously the personal side of things from all the way back on 9/11 and giving us the first week update about what's taking place on campus.
It's my pleasure always, Matt. Thank you.
University President Patrick Leahy, faculty member Matt Harmon, episode 17 in the books. Thanks as always for joining us. We'll be back within the next 2 weeks for episode number 18. For more information on Monmouth, go to monmouth.edu. You can find all of these podcasts archived on any of the podcast platforms and, of course, on the school's website at monmouth.edu. Remember those from September 11th, continued health and safety during this COVID pandemic. We'll talk to you again real soon.